You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
My gosh. Welcome to all of you. And I am so happy to be back on the air. And I will tell you, this is going to be an experiment because I may not be able to hit the mute button fast enough because I still have a cold, flu, whatever it is. So for the last week, I had zero voice until just about 3 days ago. I mean, really, for the first 5 days, nothing. Not, I could not even do a cough. There was almost as if something had removed my voice box. And everything surrounding the voice box, the voice, my voice. And so it was right after Thanksgiving. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I had a visit from angels on the Friday right before, no, the Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. And I'll tell you about them right before I lost my voice. So I lose my voice and it stayed gone. I mean, it literally stayed gone. And I have no idea. Well, I do. It's the flu. And I know that everybody's having it around here. But this is going on like, I don't know, how many days since Thanksgiving. So I could feel it coming on. And I was thinking, maybe it's allergies because I felt good and went to San Diego on Friday and saw a friend and just, you know, all was good. And I started thinking, well, my voice is getting pretty darn hoarse. And by Saturday, I woke up nothing, literally nothing. So I want to share some of the spiritual journey I had with that nothing and what opened up on the first 3 days after my experience with these angels I will tell you about. And I also want to talk about a little bit about Advent. And we are going to, this is an experiment because Jennifer and I agreed that if my voice is gone or I can't go too long without coughing and appropriately hitting the mute button. I'm warning you right now, I probably will not hit the mute button because it keeps disappearing on me anyway. I'm not quite sure how to get that back into function. So it just keeps disappearing beneath my screen. So if you hear these little pauses, just know that's probably me coughing or you'll hear me coughing. But Advent is here, and Advent gives us an opportunity, which I got kicked off by this flu. I also made sure that I stayed more in the positive world, that I stayed more in the positive, my positive thoughts. And I will tell you what I mean by that. I was not intentionally saying I will get better, none of that. But it's easy to sink when you have those moments of vulnerability. It's easy to sink, and it's easy to have some of the old ghost of the past, just like old junk in your lungs that you have to cough out. Sometimes that will come up. So it was important to me to open, not to determine, but to open. I really had almost no choice. And so I did have an experience when on the worst day, when I had nothing, not even a squeak, I had to sign, listen, I mean, really, literally, I'm signing to my dog, to Mozart. Luckily, he's a German Shepherd and he's pretty smart, but he got a little confused sometimes. He's like, "You want me to sit? Want me to lay? Want me to stand over here? What do you want me to do? Just, you know, can you just tell me?" So I was signing to him quite a bit and realized how little he really needs, how I overdo everything. We think that we're talking to a child crossing the street or something in traffic. It's amazing what animals how they can communicate, how they do communicate. It's not because I've been the best trainer in the world, but I want to talk a little bit about what those lessons taught me as well. And I want to talk a little bit about how the path that you walk as you listen to God, how the path you walk unfolds and brings about such great fruit that you're not aware of unless something just snaps in front of you and you happen to see two snapshots, snapshot of maybe 6 months ago, a snapshot of now, snapshot of maybe 10 years ago, and a snapshot of now. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about your spiritual desert, your personal desert, and why it is a moment of rejoice for the spiritual absence of comfort of survival around you and how that can be turned into joy. Now, many of you on this holiday season are facing really tough times, and I know that. I was at a group yesterday where I couldn't talk much, but I did a little bit. And there was a speaker, a very dynamic speaker, and a very wonderful and beautiful speaker. And at some point, whatever, I noticed at someone else were at these round tables, because there was also going to be a dinner afterward. And at some point, this was not a Catholic, but it was a person who was talking to people who were having difficulties in life, but also is a very, very Christian preacher, basically. Very great, great speaker. And he's come down from some pretty harsh places to be able to come and say, I'm standing here before you today to tell you, it is not your will. It can't be your will. And you can do all the self-help in the world. You can do this, you can do that. And when it comes down to it, unless you have plugged in to the power of God, you're pretty much doomed to failure. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do okay or that you're going to lose everything. But what it is you need to gain oftentimes will be lost. But this isn't the point. The point is that I happened to notice we were in these big round tables. A young man who walked in, sat down, and toward the front, and it was kind of parallel with me. And I can't tell the age, maybe 30s, but he looked just blank, distressed, shelled, shocked, hollowed out. And he was there listening, as all of us were. And then I could see something come over his face, and he got up and he walked away, and I could see him brushing something or swiping his eyes, and he walked away. And it was a kind of a, you know, good looking guy and strong looking and healthy. And so that was that. Everything ends. Everyone gets up to have a couple of minutes before the dinner. And I went over to get some water, and he happened to be getting something. And, asked if he wanted a cup or whatever. And then he looked at me and I said, are you okay? And he said, my father passed unexpectedly. So just a couple of days in the second, maybe the first week of Advent, his father dies without warning. I didn't ask too many questions. And he said something in the reference to a gospel triggered me, and I just couldn't control my emotions. So we were able to talk a little bit, just a tiny bit. And I didn't know him, but basically because of my experience and my experience in death on all fronts with other people's and other families as well as my own family, you know, I just looked at him and said, you're not supposed to be able to control your emotions. You're in shock. This is new. And don't let anyone tell you what's too much, what's not enough. He deserves to be grieved. The questions are coming into your mind. Whatever it was I said to him, and we hugged. And that was that. But what that showed me, and then at the same time, I'll tell you about these other, these little angels, but at the same time, he showed up. He was in shock. He was living what happens in life, that we all die. And it was pain, and no Christmas in the world, no Advent reflection, nothing in the world was going to be able to take that pain away at that moment. So he's real. He's real. And you're real. And if what you're real about right now is that Christmas triggers painful feelings or thoughts that you may not understand, bittersweet, sadness, maybe a loved one's over in another part of the globe. Maybe you've had a loss. Maybe there's just, you know, dissension in the family that still can't be resolved. Maybe it's beautiful, happy, and lovely. There's room for all of it under that Christmas tree, under the God's Christmas tree. So in this program, I want to talk about trust in a very joyful and joyous way, even in the face of tough times. We all know the holidays. We all hear about it. It can, for a huge part of our population, be one of the roughest times. It is the time of really tough times. It's a trigger anniversary for some reason. So we'll talk a little bit about that on the other part of the break, but mainly we're going to focus on trust, on Advent, on the Word, on being able to return to that place that we need to find over and over and over again that will lead to healing and abundant life. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and I'm wondering whether I'm getting very close to coughing here soon. So as I said, please bear with me. I will try to get to the mute button, but I don't know. It's hidden and I have to wait for it to come back up and we'll see. So before the break, I kind of gave you an overview of what I wanted to go into today because these things are very meaningful to me. So I will start, and I hope to you too, because yes, it is the holidays and we all know it's everywhere. It's on all the news stories here and there. It's you can Google it. It's a pretty known situation that we have, as we do in so many parts of our society, we have a dualistic approach to the holidays. The holidays everywhere, the holidays. There's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and all the beautiful songs that you might have sung in school when you were or at your own home, Away in the Manger, Silent Night, and it's all very beautiful. And then we have the ones that many have that have become traditions. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and I'll Be Home for Christmas and all these things that just imply that there is one beautiful, warm, cuddly nest for you and its place of beauty, refuge, and joy, softness, warmth, security. It's not about gifts. And we've made it about gifts. We've made it about easy so we can do the perfunctory ritual. Get that tree, make the gift, wrap it gorgeous. Here it is. Send out the cards. And yay, that was a good Christmas. That was a Christmas that was, even if we have holy cards, Jesus is in a manger, Jesus within his mommy's arms, Jesus in, you know, it's the wise men. It's all very beautiful. And it gives a statement that we will remember this, that we are not going to forget. And it's great. But somehow we know there's that, and we know that a huge percentage of that is complete myth. I don't mean Jesus. I mean our warm nest, because we feel empty and kind of like sad or let down. Oftentimes, many of you do. And I'm speaking to you, because if you're out shopping and everything's awesome and everything's great and you have this great family, I met a family like that the day I was getting sick. I met a family like that. Oh my gosh, these people were just amazing. They were neighbors of a friend of mine. And it's just this beautiful couple. And they were just so there together in their home with, and their kids, I think, were a little bit older, but not too much older. And just, you could just feel it. It was just a good feeling. Not that they wouldn't have had problems, but this is what happens. So we know that a good part of this is a myth. And why do we know this? Because of our feelings of stress, our feelings of just feeling kind of low, a letdown afterward. So that may not be you, and I'm really happy it isn't. And we're going to get to more things in the program that have to do more with, okay, so if you are in a good place, great. So how do we make that place better? What is Advent all about? What is trust all about? And what's trust for you when you feel like, hey, things are going pretty good? So we're going to talk about that, because there's room for everybody under the tree. Every one of you has a present. Every single one of you has a present from God. We're sitting right under your tree, and it's always there, and that tree never comes down. Those beautiful lights stay with you all the time. You just don't always see it. Or if you've ever done what I've done and kind of gone the, I'll leave my Christmas lights up because they're so pretty all year long, and I put them over like maybe around the fireplace or somewhere, you know, a little bit more stylish, it still gets to be, you don't even see them after a while. So we're going to go with that. So I want to read to you a daily reflection from Creighton University, because you know I really like that. Creighton University's campus ministry, and this is for the Monday of the second week of Advent, which is today. And the reference that they used are Isaiah, or the references that they used are Isaiah 35, 1 through 10, Psalms 85, verse 10, 11 and 12, 13 to 14, and Luke 5, 17, 26. So I'm going to read this. This one is by Craig Zimmer. I see today's first reading from Isaiah as an invitation, one that encompasses all of life, really, but is offered to us in a particularly meaningful way here in Advent. The reading uses language of, quote, return, unquote. So to me, this is an invitation to come home, to return to where God desires us to be. Where is this? It's a place of wholeness, where our afflictions are healed. It is a place where life and energy and beauty abound. It is a place of harmony and unity, where the causes of fear and mistrust are removed. This is where our invitation calls us. The implication, of course, is that if we are returning somewhere, we have been someplace else. Perhaps in the language of Isaiah, we have been feeble, weak, or frightened. Perhaps we've been thirsty in a spiritual or emotional desert. Maybe we've been foolish and gone astray in how we treat the people in our lives, how we choose to spend our time, or in our general attitude about life. Some of my favorite words in this reading are, quote, a highway will be there called the Holy Way. It is for those with a journey to make, unquote. We all have a journey to make this Advent. We all have a holy way to travel as we seek to return home to the way of living and being that God desires for us. How can I turn toward healing for myself, for someone else, or in a particular relationship? What areas of my life need a fresh dose of life, energy, and beauty? How can I contribute to harmony and unity in my family and my community? How can I return The gospel shows us how important these questions are because it gives us a very vivid story to show that if we just want to wait around for things to magically happen or spontaneously get better, we're probably going to be waiting for a while. The paralyzed man and his friends did not just passively hope that something would change or something good would come around. They made it happen. Our road, our holy way of returning to God, is a way of action, choosing to take steps in our lives that lead to healing, abundant life, and unity. What are those steps for us? The holy way we are being invited to travel this Advent. And he leaves that with a question. What is the holy way that you are being invited to travel this way? Now, this is a beautiful thing written by this message from Craig Zimmer. It's very beautiful. And it's beautiful in its totality. The only thing that for me, when I hear, when I read this, I would add is when they say to return to where God desires us to be. I get what he's saying. In my head, the thing that came naturally was to return to God. Return to God. Not, okay, where on the road did you want me here? I mean, that's all part of it, and you need to ask him that. But return to him, and the only way you can return to him is by turning yourself over. You can Google map him. You can, you know, map quest, but you have to map quest him. You can't put in the place you want to go and the direction you are or where you sit right now. And then outside of that, God, it has to be God map, God quest. Here's where I am. Here's where I want to be. But where you want to be needs to be in God, in him, so that any second he can choose to pull you from the ranks and give you another job. It's what happens in our military. That happens when we really have to be there at a moment's notice, always ready. And of course, most of us aren't. It's a beautiful, beautiful Advent message. And it's no coincidence that those readings from Isaiah, Psalms, and Luke were these particular readings of talking about afflictions and talking about weak and feeble and being in the desert. But there's some good things that can come from that. We'll get on that on the other side of the break. How do you define the desert you're in? How do you even know you're in it? How do you listen to God? How can you change your praying just a little bit, tweak it? Doesn't mean you have to slice off part of it and put in a brand new thing, but you can use all different forms of prayer. We're asked to do that, actually, by the way, because it is a good way. It's a way to lead to healing. And as Mr. Zimmer says, abundant life and unity. So we're going to look at the steps. What are the steps that are out there before us in this highway, in this beautiful highway, which is the way, is called the holy way? What is your holy way? And what is your journey from now until forever? But we'll just start from now, one day at a time, as I say. So when we return from the break, we will talk more about that. I also want to talk about stepping it up a little bit and opening in a way that you never have before. So we're going to talk about that, other healing things that are going to be going on for you, and all about grace, Advent, and maybe even some holiday shopping. So stay with us. We'll talk about all this and more on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are being so wonderful and patient with me on this road. I promise not to cough on you on this road. I may cough, though, again, as I keep telling you. So please bear with me. You've been great so far. I hope you can understand me. So this is all beautiful, wonderful stuff that I hate to just say, oh, Adventist stuff, but here you go. I've had such a interesting for me, I keep having these little revelations and these little setbacks and these little shocks and where God shows me things that I am so attached to. And I'm attached partially to the illusion I had around the thing itself. And then when I'm faced with the reality, I look at it and go, wow, really? I am thankful I'm not in that anymore. I'm thankful I'm not present in that situation. And yet within 5 minutes, I have the nostalgic feeling. We all love nostalgia. I do not want to get away from nostalgia, but our nostalgia keeps us back. If a butterfly had nostalgia for being a caterpillar, and every time it saw a cocoon, it would go, an empty cocoon, it would go crawl back up in there and hang out for a while, it wouldn't be a very good or big or fabulous or fulfilling butterfly. It would be too busy going back in the cocoon, coming back out, going back, having its wings a little bit cramped and not working quite as right and trying to fly and having the instinct to go in a direction on its own holy highway and not know where to go. So we have to know, this is, it's going to sound kind of bizarre, but this is from Hildegard of Bingen. And I told you, I'm so into her. And the reason is because she is so over the top, I swear. They could make a series out of her that would, it's like you really think that it really turns your Catholicism on in ear in a way, because sometimes we've lost many things. She is a saint. She was an abbess. Some of the most recognizable hymns from ancient times in our Catholic Church, she wrote. She was a poet. She was an astrologer. I've told you this before. I haven't told you there's a little crater on the moon named for her. She's a real trip. And if you look at some of her visions and some of the pictures that she did, pictures of her visions or what she thought depression looked like or whatever. It was very interesting because remember, she lived a long time ago. So she only had, and in Germany, I think. So she only had what was at her disposal from an abbess and from being there since she was 10 years old. So this says, it's number 19, and this is she made everything into parts, and this is from her work, the book of The Rewards of Life, and it's just her translated completely. So it's always more fun to read someone who's translated and then made it more modern. But she was talking about the words of the zeal of God, and she says, on number 19, God shows man that he may not fall into the confusion of sin. Now, I'm going to also prelude this to say she also had visions about the significance of the directions, which has been held through the Catholic Church as well, the north, the east, the south. It's mentioned, all the directions are mentioned many times in the Bible. And she saw each place, the north, the east, the south, each direction as being governed. So she would call the north man, the east man. But this says, this is number 19. She says, for the fact that you see that the man whom I mentioned earlier turns to the north so that he looks both to the north and to the east, this is because God shows man how not to fall into the confusion of blindness of sin, how to avoid such confusion with strength, and how to prepare himself for the honor of true light, since man has both the knowledge of good and evil. For man is able to know what part of the wheel of knowledge declines. All right, so let's listen to that. Let's look at that, because this has to do with Advent and our angels and what we're going to learn this particular week. She says to us, when she's looking at, she has these visions, and they've been determined by the church to be true visions by God, from God. And she wrote so many books, and she really is a trip. I mean, really. But she used everything, and she saw quite far. She was an amazing woman. So she says, when she talks about this, she's actually saying this vision that she saw, that the man is looking both to the north and to the east. And in somehow in that orientation, he is looking that way because God shows man how not to fall into the confusion of the blindness of sin. So in other words, if you are between two points, and you really don't know, is this from God? Is this not from God? And you do begin to get confused. And the old adage, if it's confusing, it's not from God. Well, you know what? In all the light of day, yes. Because when you know, if you've ever known, I have two, maybe three times in my life, where all of a sudden you get a moment, you don't decide that you do feel that peace. And it's a weird feeling. Because it doesn't feel like anything. It's just peace. And you go, wow, that's peace. It's a really very unusual situation. But other than that, I think confusion in our day and age does come along because we live in a mentally confusing world. We live in a dualistic world, like I said about Christmas. Merry Christmas, those of you who are dying and suffering and lost everything and who are sick or locked in a mental institution or just came back from war and lost your leg. And oh, Merry Christmas and all the happy thoughts of home that was broken and destroyed. And, you know, it's like this dualistic thinking. I'm not downing it. I love all those things. But I'm just saying we have to understand that in order not to be confused by it, by letting this sin confuse us, because if there's a way to, quote, get through the holidays, if you're one of those who are having a difficult time, it's to stand in that middle ground, stand in the ground where you got the north and the east, the way that, because she says, because God shows you how not to fall into the confusion and how to avoid such confusion with strength for the honor of true light. So you can avoid your confusion. You can avoid your pain, even feeling it, because you can't just wish pain away. That young man I told you about can't just go, well, I guess I'll just put it all in a great perspective here. He's suffering. Someone who just lost everything is suffering. Someone who's coming down from drugs is suffering. Someone who doesn't understand how to go on anymore is suffering. People who are sick are suffering. We live in this crazy, crazy world, and it is a crazy, crazy world. I spent a lot of time in an inpatient eating disorder with women with tubes down their noses because they lost the ability to eat. They could hardly be examined because the nurse could feel their spine from touching their abdomen. They were that thin and they couldn't see there was a problem. They were days away from dying. And now there's euthanasia going on that says right now, legally, that a anorexic woman should be allowed to decide to die if she wants to starve. Now, do you think this is kind of crazy? So then what's the doctor going to do? Just going to got to first say, hey, first, before we treat you, got to find out whether you really want to be here or not. And I don't care whether your mind's a little clouded because you haven't eaten or because your electrolytes are all messed up or your liver's all screwed up and your thyroid's all a mess and you got hair in your face you shouldn't have and all this other stuff. No, I don't care about that. And I'm being sarcastic. Yes. But we have to prepare ourselves knowing I do live in a dualistic world. I got to stay the course. I got to find that holy highway. Because if I don't, I will not know which way to go because everybody's making a great case for everything. So why don't we do what Hildegard von Bingen said, or von Bingen, back in 10-something in the middly, darky ages somewhere where we don't want to go to. Saying that the honor of true light, you prepare yourself for the honor, since man knows both the knowledge of good and evil. So in other words, we look at the knowledge of good and evil as our fall. It was our fall, but too bad. Water under the bridge. Can't unring a bell. We got it now, baby. We got that knowledge and it's messing us up. But there's a way. There's the holy highway. Man is able to know what part of the wheel of knowledge declines. She looked at things as the wheel of life. And there's a wheel where as you go and you have the ability to the God-given ability, once you've had this, he gave us a way back, a way back. That's where I would go with Mr. Zimmer and go a little further. He's asking us to come back and to take us back to our birth, our salvation's birth, which is the birth of Christ, our salvation, the time in all history where we really knew there really is a guide. There really is a savior. Here he is. All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to wrap some of this into our current holidays, and we're going to wrap a little bit into how do we get feeling what we need to feel and walk on this holy highway. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle. See you at the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome back. Doing pretty good so far. You're all hanging in there with me. Still got my little mute button. Keeps going away from me though. So we're closing in. This is great. So I want to bring you back. I mean, really, you guys have got to look into this lady. I call her this lady. She's a saint. I was reading her, or she has recipes, she has cures, she has, some of them are far-fetched because again, you probably will not be going out and eating vulture very soon, I'm pretty sure. But she also, you know, she might have you lick an amethyst. But we all look at that, like if somebody's talked about it today, you'd be doing the little proverbial Dracula cross with your fingers and going, oh, that's new age. Well, hey, that was old age. This was, she took everything. Because she saw the power. And again, just even talking about that, all I want to do is add this. I'm not going into crystal this, crystal that. All I want to go into is this. If you believe that some of the first radios were crystals, they were quartz that grew in the ground, and somebody goes, oh, interesting how that works. Or same thing, funneling that light through another kind of crystal or rock or piece of glass and then burning something. All that was utilized scientifically. So the frequencies, the emissions that come out, the way it bends the frequencies of light. I read, this all has to do with God, believe it or not, and you and your recovery and your wholeness and your mental health. The coolest thing is, I wish I had it. You guys could YouTube it. Is one of those little, you know, distractor things I keep saying we shouldn't do. And there was something about this weird place on Earth somewhere. Oh, what was it called? I can't remember. Svet something. I think it was off of Norway. It's like one of the coldest places on the face of this Earth. And nobody can live there. They tried to make an encampment, the Russians did, to mine some of the stuff, but it was just it just couldn't work. And this has the weirdest climate on Earth because it will have the coldest places on Earth with no life, no apparent life, maybe a polar bear, a seal, a certain kind of bird, certain kind of bunting. And then it has this weird time where it's 24 hours of sun and all of a sudden the whole place transforms and flowers grow and animals come out of everywhere. And there was this one little thing they showed that was so dependent on the rest of life in that area, and probably in all areas, was one of the first things as the sun started to come out is that through those huge layers of ice in the water, these little tiny, I don't know if they're microscopic, but I could see them. So they're teeny, like little mealy bugs or something, would come out of nowhere from the depths. And they would come up to the ice, the bottom of the ice, where some odd little algae grows with the sun. And they would take, how they said it was that these little bugs in their bodies had some little apparatus when they ate this algae that had come there from the sun, that they actually stored sun energy in their bodies. And I guess we all do when you think about it. But this is so miraculous and so beautiful. And I wondered, how in the world can we look at this earth and not see that we are given, when he says the least of these things come up from the depths of frozen, dark wasteland awfulness, water, and then somehow are attracted to the light and actually can capture in these little bodies, little packages of sunlight. It's unbelievable, but we can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. So let me tell you some of the ways to do that very same thing for this Advent, because it's got to be more than just, okay, we light our candle and we pay homage and it's a wonderful thing and we see how it happened and we get the same lesson over and over, but life is not about the same lesson. If you know why it's a really good idea to make your bed, which actually I haven't figured that one out yet, but if you really find that out, we don't need to have the same lesson over and over and over again because we learned it. We might need to be reminded sometimes, but we need to make this more than the manger scene. We need to make this more than recanting the Magi and just saying out of idle words, oh, the North Star and the Star of Bethlehem and this, you know, we don't see Jesus in any other way sometimes in the Hallmark Jesus. So how can we make this, how can we take that we get to re-experience every single year, and no matter where you are at in life, become those packets? Well, if you're really in a bad, 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 bad way, you partake in the little tiny things that you can, and you stay there silently, and you ask God, I'm opening. Not, oh, why me? Why does this suck so bad? Where's my family? Sometimes you have to let go. I mean, I cry along with the rest of you. Where's my family? Where's my family? The family I thought for 30 years, I thought would be like right here at this Christmas. It's nowhere to be found. So sure, I cry. I go in the store and I see one too many or hear one too many songs. And I'm there, you know, crying over my bananas, you know, but the reality is when I lost my voice, as I told you, and I didn't know anything to do but to take a hot bath, I was so miserable and I had no way to speak. And so I'm there and I put my head under the water and I just could hear my heartbeat. And I was thinking, wow, that's my heart. And then somehow I just, because I couldn't pray words, I just couldn't do anything else but receive. And then I began to open and I began to somehow hear God tell me, not that my brain understood it. There's a way that you can't, through your openness, not asking except for him to come to you, but the openness to allow him to illuminate and to fill you, and those parts of you that have been sliced, diced, beaten up, disappointed, those are your burnt offerings. You put them in a little metaphorical incense dish and you burn them so the smoke goes up. and can be recycled. Energy is never, ever destroyed. It is always recycled. Every being on earth, everything on earth, potential kinetic. Y'all learn that. A piece of wood has a bunch of potential energy in it, but it doesn't, nothing happens to it until you light the match. When you light the match, poof, hey, kinetic energy, voila, there it is. And then it goes into smoke, and then that goes into something else and something else. And it always gets recycled. So how about recycling the parts of you that got collected in some little dark basket somewhere that hurt, or that have to go to recovery, that have to be healed, that get to you, that aren't resolved. The angels I was going to tell you about, on that day I was losing my voice, Thanksgiving Day, I was at a potluck. And a woman I met, because she had a miraculous medal, there's 100 people there. She's coming out of one bathroom in this little tiny beach cottage. She was coming out just as I was going to the one bathroom they had. And I noticed, I go, oh, that's Mary, because I couldn't see it well. She goes, yeah. And it was not a religious thing. It was totally secular. I think I told you about this. No, maybe I didn't. Anyway, so we were talking, and we started talking about Mary and the miraculous medal and all this kind of stuff. We're the only ones there doing that out of all these people. Very secular function. And she had two sons, 22, both of them Down syndrome. Do you know how many, probably approaching in the 99th percentile of Down syndrome babies, that it would be malpractice if you did not offer the mother abortion, but most of them get aborted now. Most of them are aborted. So these 22-year-old kids, twins, and they're showing me pictures of tigers and lions, and we're looking at that, and they're all, and they had this book. And they had this book about grandma tells their kids about Jesus, and open it up, and there's my favorite, Our Lady of Guadalupe, right there. And that's not even enough. So one of them takes their to open up to their, I said, show me your favorite prayer. And the favorite prayer was about Mary, and that following Mary's example, you will be led from despair. It was beautiful. But even more than that, there was a point where they wanted to sing me a song. They sang me a song about the lion and the lamb. And then I saw them by chance yesterday. They wanted to sing me another song. And the song they sang me was, Thy Will Be Done. Now, it was difficult to understand because they have Down syndrome. They don't use their tongue the way we do. But they were singing, Thy Will Be Done. And their faces were glowing with joy, looking straight up. You couldn't have been happy. They couldn't have been. I've never seen such happiness as these two little angels. Gift from God. Guides on the holy highway. You are on the holy highway. Keep your eyes open for your guides today, okay? Your angels. We'll talk to you more tomorrow. Thank you for being with me, scratchy voice and all. See you tomorrow. I am Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.